Well, I want to talk to us a few things this morning. There's things God's been dealing with me, he wants to talk about. It's one of the things is I was really glad because what Mike shared is going to fit in with where we're going here. It's one of the things is that I appreciate because Mike gave the testimony of, you know, of the fact of how it works. They did it, and it worked. And I don't know about you. I want what works. And, you know, because... You know, it's very interesting. I've been, you know, just listening to different things going on. And I was listening to there was a guy who was, it was an online thing. And I just happened to, there was a video came on. And a guy was talking about investing, investments, you know, and stuff, things like that. And he made this statement. He said, what they call today experts in the areas of investing, he said, they don't have as good, you know, they don't pick them as well as just the average person does. They said you need to understand we have a lot of people sitting out here called experts today, and they're not. He said, and what he's talking about is these experts. If you sit down and you watch different, you know, business news, and they have these guys who sit and talk, and the Wall Street guys talk, those are the guys he was talking about. He said, they're sitting and telling you this, and he said, we keep track of what they call and say to do, and they said they don't do well at all. They're not hitting it well at all. And in fact, I mean, I've read this a number of times. Over the years, they've done studies. In fact, they went through the things of like taking first graders and giving them stocks to pick. Now, these kids don't really know much about it. The kids picked. They said mostly they just do it random. They go through and say, hey, take this one or take that one. They hit higher than the Wall Street average. And they actually did this on two different studies. They took monkeys, gave them markers, and gave them things with stocks on them and let them just point and pick a thing, and they did higher than the Wall Street average. I mean, that's seriously a problem. And so, but it's one of the things that in what you're dealing with there, even in that instant, you're dealing with people standing out there called experts, but really they don't have nothing to back it up. There's no experience to back it up of proof that what they're doing works. There needs to be proof of what we do, it works. Just like with you, you want proof that you have a God, don't you? You want proof of that God, not just... You know, many people are just happy with God in a book. They're happy there. I'm sorry, I'm not. I mean, I wouldn't bother with God and just God in a book. That's not enough. There has to be more. And I want to talk to you this morning because we want to talk about a new level of believing. And this is from a thing, Randy Greer had taught it back some time ago. There's a few things he had said, and God used him over time to speak some things that really started to change me in some areas that I was believing, begin to open up to some things that really, you could have dissatisfaction about some stuff. And one of the things that I want to talk about this morning, I really believe there's an urgency in the areas of the things that I'm talking to. I was just looking at sort of putting some of this stuff on because we talked about it some before. I was going to just put it back. And the Lord just kept speaking to me over the past maybe 3 or 4 weeks about this, is going to this subject. And you know, I don't always, you know, just as soon as the Lord says something about something, because lots of times, you know, whether God wants us to do something, we got to prepare to do it. You know, you just don't automatically do it. And this has just been on me about this thing and talking about it in God's plan, because what can happen, we need to understand this, and it happens many times with people, that because things aren't changed in time, sometimes things don't get changed, if you know what I mean. You can wait too long to change certain things. And I really get a sense as the church world, as the church as a whole, there's things that we need to step into that God has been speaking. Some of it, people are trying to step into it, but they're trying to step in it to the same old way they used to do it before. And some things aren't going to work. I find this, that God's getting very meticulous. He's not putting up with a lot of things that have been taught the way that they are. And he's been blessing people in spite of sometimes, rather than because of. And we want to be in the place that, you know, that you have an assurity of God's blessing in your life. You know, I don't want a dartboard Christianity. That's what most people have. Most people in Christianity today, I'm talking about all-toe Christianity, they have a dartboard Christianity. They're just throwing darts and hope they hit a good thing. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And that isn't God's plan for us. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for your blessing. So we want to, if God's moving in an area, we want to make the changes that need to be made, and because we don't want to continue it on to where sometimes things are harder to make changes. And we want to continue to flow in what God is telling us. God has some wonderful plans and some plans for you that maybe you haven't heard Him talk to you about. I found out there were some things that God didn't say to me, and it wasn't until I started to step into certain things that He was trying to make some changes of, that then He spoke to me about them. And so, and when I look at it, well, it wouldn't have done any much good to say some of the things that He said to me because of the direction that I was going. It wasn't, you know, so we want to make sure that we follow the direction that God has, listening to God. One of the things as we go along in these teaching, I want you to understand this, is we're not going to end up where God wants us to be just being people of the Word. We got to be people of the Spirit too. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not just the, hey, I'm not, don't believe me, I'm not minimizing the Word. But the Holy Spirit, there's not one of us here who are on the same level in everything. Not one of us. So that means this, if we're not on the same level, then there would be things that some need to know or understand that others don't. And so this would mean that we're heading on a place here. We have to, the Holy Spirit, I've learned this over the years, the Holy Spirit guides and leads you into the truth. In other words, the truth that you need at the time to lead you to where you need to go, you need to know where the Holy Spirit is directing you. You know, how many times have I heard people say, you know, sitting, listen to a teaching and somebody's ministering, and what they got out of it was totally different than somebody else got it. God began to speak to them about a certain thing. Something in that message triggered something within them of what they needed to know. And God spoke to them. And you need to understand that. God's not up there, and Christians are all, we're all just in the same class, and we're all the same. You are individually, God is working with you. Individually, for where you're at, where you need to develop. It's just like, you couldn't take things of adults that you need to understand and know and try to give it to a little kid when they're not able to handle that. God knows where each of us are in our development. He knows areas. Some areas we might be strong in, other areas we're not as strong in. And so God knows that, and He's going to work with us accordingly to teach us. So we want to make sure that we get there. The Lord had said this to Randall Greer, had made this statement to him, and this thing is the thing that triggered me back about 2 years ago. He said that the Lord said to him, if you take on a new level of believing, you will move to a new level of receiving. If you take on a new level of believing, you're going to, what it's going to do? You will move to a new level of receiving. He began to speak, the Lord has really, when Randall Greer talked about that, it really went off in me. And so I just knew it really, it's sort of like one of those things when I heard it, it was like, I knew God was talking to me in that thing when He said it. I knew He was speaking to me. There's something that He wanted me to get a hold of. And what we're going to go on and teach in this is the fact of, because I needed, even though I knew principles and understood principles of faith, I had an area where I was not receiving like God wanted me to, yet I could tell you the principles of it. And so we need to know this. Many people are operating in principles of things, but there's certain things they don't understand. Sometimes we have the cart before the horse. And we're going to talk about that. This is one of the things we're going to find out in finances, that many of the faith ministers have hindered people from being blessed because they always preach the horse before the cart. Almost always. And 90% of them do it. God's been dealing with me about that because He's troubled by it because His people are not getting blessed. They are getting things, but His people aren't. And He don't like it. He doesn't like it. And it's because the way things are taught. That's why we got to come back and look at, are we teaching it right? See, the number one thing that we're all called to is to walk in love. And if you're walking in love, then you would put others before yourself. And any minister should put the people before himself. Hasn't always been like, not all of them are like that, but there's a lot of them out here. I'm just sorry to say, they put themselves first and not the people. And it's important that the people are first. You know, you've heard Mike talking about, Mike shared, we have these meetings coming up. You know, we need to know, and it requires finances to do things. It's going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars to do this. You know, do you pay for hotels and that stuff? And we pay for the rent and all that stuff. And you have a lot of money is involved in these things. But we need to understand the money for this church, basically God wants to bring it in through the people in the church. So you have to get blessed. You have to get blessed. You know, I don't believe this. I don't believe in these guys and, you know, and give it till it hurts. Because they don't. They live really good lives, you know. Sitting there telling people how they ought to be given. And some of these guys are doing things. I know one minister out there telling people how they need, his ministry needed all this money. He was staying in a hotel for a week holding meetings, paying $21,000 a night for a suite, telling people to send him money. My God, somebody should have sent him a bolt of lightning. You know? It's like, what nerve? And see, when these kind of things go on, it's where people are more interested in themselves than in the people. You know, some of the prophets didn't say some very nice things that God had them speak about people, about leaders fleecing the flock. It doesn't go well. We don't want to fleece the flock. My desire from my heart is to see you blessed. You need to be. I can't see how you can fulfill God's plan for your life if you're not. I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see how you're going to fulfill the desires. You know, I don't believe that God has put anything. I don't think you look out of here and you would go to children. If we got children out here and say maybe bring some first graders in and set them and ask them what they would like their future, what they want. You're not going to find any of them stop and saying, you know, I think I just want to be poor. I don't want to have too much. That's not the destiny. You have to get older and be taught stupid things to come to that place. And sometimes through religion or whatever it is taught, brings people to that place where our teaching and things that we've been taught is slowly eaten into us, where people come along and look at things and they're not looking at it like God. And I just want you to go over this morning. I want you to read a scripture here in Mark the 9th chapter. And in Mark the 9th chapter, there's one scripture, but I want you to see this. Jesus has just been up on the mountain, a Mount of Configuration. He was up there in the presence of God. He turned into a glowing object on the mountain. The anointing of God was on him. Moses and Elijah met him on the mountain. And Peter, James, and John were there, startled of what went on. But he comes off the mountain, and there's a disturbance going on. I'm going to break into this at verse 17. And it says, and this is Mark the 9th chapter. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? He said, bring him to me. Now what Jesus said, how long am I going to put up with you guys? That's what he's saying. That's in our vernacular. That's what you'd say. Man, how long am I going to put up with you people? How long am I going to do this? I think sometimes Jesus has felt that way about me. How long am I going to put up with this guy? What is he? You know, because sometimes we go along in what we know to do, we are just doing it. So, you ever been there? If you haven't, you ain't lived yet. So maybe you'll get some experience. You'll have one of those. And anyhow, I said, bring him to me. He said, then they brought him to him, to Jesus. And he said, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And he said, and often it has thrown him, he said, both in the fire, into the fire, and into the water to destroy him. But he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I've talked about this scripture. I preached about this scripture before, and the Lord wants me to bring this thing back, and because I don't think we got it yet. But I want you to see what Jesus said to him. Jesus made this statement. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It's the most phenomenal statement. I want you to see this fact, though. Is one thing is the Lord, is when I was looking at this about teaching this, one thing he brought to me was the fact, this statement is made to just an ordinary man. This is not made to some apostle or some prophet or some big name guy. This wasn't said to the high priest. This wasn't said to any of them. It was said to just an ordinary guy. And I just want you to think about it. You need to meditate on what Jesus said. He said, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can believe, all things are possible. This ordinary man, he said, if you can believe. And we need to understand this. In other words, our believing will determine what our possibilities are. Our believing will. Your believing will determine the possibilities that you have. Well, now, just I've thought about this as things over time and looking at this scripture. And I can, you know, it's a proven fact. I can look back over my Christian walk. My possibilities in life have been based upon how I was believing. I could not go any further into things than I was believing. I couldn't go any further into it. I couldn't get any further. I couldn't get any further blessing than I could believe. Now, sometimes God will throw a little extra in here, but I would know he's throwing extra in. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it was him. In other words, but, and that's not bad. I mean, we as we grow, we go along, but sometimes that can be a great hindrance to us. Our believing can become a great hindrance. But we need to understand that God does not determine, really, from the standpoint of our possibilities. He don't determine that. We do by what we believe. Now understand, faith comes by hearing the word. But I mean, his word really has no limit in possibilities. So it's determined by us how far we're going to go or how far we're going to do this. I want to read something to you that Jesus Christ himself said to Kenneth E. Hagin. There's one small mini book that's how you can write your ticket with God. Kenneth E. Hagin got that message. Jesus appeared to him and gave him a four-step message and told him that if anybody did this, what this says, they would be guaranteed that every time they would get what they were believing for. He told them they'd follow that. And I want you to see, listen here what Jesus said. And we have to come to this point. We have to come to the place of our responsibility. I'm going to break in some things that Jesus said, but this is Kenneth Hagin talking to Jesus. He said, then I said to him, Lord, what about Christians? He's asking about this right in your ticket. After Jesus told him what would work, he said, so many believers never need victory in various areas of their life. They have the world and the flesh and the devil to deal with. Some need victory over the flesh. Some need victory over the devil. Some need victory over the world, and some need victory over it all. Can you identify yourself in any of those places? Okay. Now, he said, what about this? In other words, this teaching he had given him, he's asked, what about, will this work for all this stuff? Will it work? He said, are you telling me that any believer anywhere can write a ticket over the world and the flesh and the devil? He said, you mean they can do it? Jesus responded and said, emphatically, yes. But now listen what he says. He continued. And here's what you need to get. You need to arrive at this. Because a lot of the church world and Christians are in error. He said, if they don't do it, it won't be done. It would be a waste of time for them to pray to me to give them the victory. They have to write their own ticket. This is one of the things that we need to understand about God, is taking our responsibility. There is an area, and it has entered in over the years. The more America has moved to socialism, the more people have become dependent, and even the church is dependent on the government. And I've gotten further away from God on things, on trusting God. These things that have entered in, where people have learned over time to not take their responsibility. This has really hurt the church. It's hurt a lot of Christians, because we teach a social gospel and a social faith message that God will just take care of stuff. And if you just believe God, there's people believing God for things that ain't ever going to take place or ever happen, because there's things that are in their responsibility that they're not doing. It'll never take place. It'll never happen. And it's one of the things that I was so glad that I learned through Dr. Kenneth Hagin was the fact of taking my responsibility. If you don't, you know, he used to always teach us, there's a God part, there's a man part. Your part isn't, you know, the Christian church has always tried to do God's part. And most of the time, I've never done their part. It's getting over to do your part. And this was he was talking about. We write our ticket with God. In other words, there's a way of you have to understand these things. There's a way of thinking, a way of believing that has to be walked in, that must be walked in and understood, so you can walk in this victory that God wants you to have. And we have this tendency. I mean, you watch. Whether it's advertisement for the world on products, or whether it's advertisement from the church on a new book and a revelation. Like if you get this. They always come along with, hey, we have this new, you know, synthesized, we took, you know, fish oil and we turned it into this more water. It is so perfect and so powerful. Fish oil, you take this. It's going to revolutionize your life. You're just going to be Mr. or Mrs. Health because you take that one pill. You ever watch them do it? Whenever I see those kind of advertisements, I never even consider their problem. Because number one, they lie to you coming into it, is the fact that you're going to only do one thing in your life and it's going to fix all your health problems. That's ridiculous. The church world does the exact same thing. The church world preaches certain things that if you just do this one, it's going to fix it all. And none of that's true. It's not true. There's no one fix to everything. That's why we like the government to take care of things, because that way we don't have to take care of those things and we're hoping somebody else will, so we can live a life of leisure and not take responsibility. I'm going to just tell you this. I love the responsibility. I don't like the leisure all the time. I like leisure sometimes, to sit down and relax. I like that. But I'm going to tell you what. I don't want leisure all the time. Leisure all the time is no good. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. We look at our society trying to have leisure all the time. It'll destroy you. There's a responsibility of life, and you want to take it because it brings great blessing. Everybody wants the blessing. There is not enough money or things among people that is going to fix all your problems and what people can do. They can't do it anyhow. There's things you're going to need God to get involved into your life. So, I need to understand and know this fact. It's just what he said there. I need to increase my level of believing to move to a new level of receiving. I need to do that. I need to. That's not God's responsibility. God will help me go there. But that's my responsibility. Do I want to go to a higher level? And I just want to ask you a question. How many of you here at times have reached a level and you've just been sort of happy, life's just sort of here, and I'm just going to sort of sit back right here at this place? You know, things are pretty good, the bills are paid, and it's pretty nice, and I'm just, I'm just sort of believing God, and things are just really nice. And you sit there, and all of a sudden, one day, it ain't nice there no more, because the devil got you in a corner. He got you in a place where you thought it was nice. And what happened is you stopped going beyond. You stopped going past that point. Now, everybody has done that. If you haven't done it, then you probably haven't been alive. They just opened a box and you just crawled out today. Because in life, we've all done that. We've gotten, sometimes not necessarily, there might be a certain area of our life we just got content with, and well, hey, things are going pretty good over here in this. So I'll just sort of let that alone. What do you think here? We're having a good time. Next thing you know, there's an explosion over there in that thing. And now you're spending all your time trying to fix that problem. And so you don't want to be there. You don't want to get in that thing. What happens is this. We need to know to go to another level. If I want to go to another level receiving, and I need to, and you need to, there needs to be a higher level for you to go to. I learned from Kenneth Hagin in the areas of healing. In fact, I probably learned better than healing than any place God really taught me there, and I really had a great interest in that, is in the area of understanding those things. I learned to understand about things, about how healing worked and how you had to rise to different levels. I see people do this. They have risen to a certain level of areas. They operate in believing God for healing, and they rise to that area. And they believe God pretty well, but what happens is something comes along, a problem that's greater than the level they have been at. And now they're in the trouble, and what they're trying to do now is trying to increase their faith in the middle of the problem. And that gets hard. That can be very hard. I know some people, I have done their funerals. They could not get past it. They never arose to the point to reach what came against them. And when the problem showed up, they couldn't get past it. The battle was too hard. They couldn't get past it. And so we need to understand that. You know, it's sort of like United States in the Second World War and what we're doing today, sitting back. One day somebody's going to drop a bomb on you, and all of a sudden America is years behind. And in the Second World War, we spent our first couple years catching up. If we wouldn't done what we did, we wouldn't have had the problem. The war would have never gone as long as it had. But because we set, all the markers were there for the war. But America sat back and didn't do anything. Well, what happens is now when in the middle of the problem, now you got to fix all this stuff. I mean, your major ships in the Pacific are sitting on the bottom of the ocean, and you're trying to get things back up and building ships and get things running. You haven't been building airplanes. The enemy's been building loads of them. They got them by the thousands, you know, and you got them by the hundreds. And it isn't working. And so what happens, you're trying to get this thing, and thank God we had some people with spunk. And let me tell you, the politicians ain't the guys that made it work. They ain't the guys, and they never have been. They're usually the stone in the cog. They're usually something that's trying to block it up, trying to do something that keeps them happy. But what happens was you face something that you've not prepared for. And that was never in God's intent. And see, I learned in the areas of healing, God taught me over in that area, the areas of healing, how not to wait like many people look at healing this way. I get sick, then I believe God for healing. As many people operate like that. In fact, I will say this. Most people that believe in healing, that's where they operate. So you get sick. I've had many people tell me, well, you're going to get sick. You know, then we believe God for healing. Well, see, in that level of thinking, there really, you may arise there when you first start off, but you need to go beyond that. You need to go to a place of faith beyond that point where you can see yourself, can I go to the place where I can actually stop sickness coming to me? Can I go there? See, I don't know about people. I don't like the idea if you just get sick and then you believe God for healing. That's like saying, well, you just get sick and you go to the doctor. I don't like that at all. You see, but many people are happy with that. They're just happy. They're happy there at that spot. But I have never met one person that was ever happy in that spot when a serious illness came and it was really eating at them. They were never happy. I don't understand why God hasn't healed me yet. I understand this. You need to understand this, folks. I'm going to tell you how your faith works. And it's proven over time. Kenneth Hagin, I even heard him say about it, this is exactly the same thing I'm going to tell you. Many times some people get healed faster than other people, and it is because of their level of faith. Some people takes a long time because their faith can only take a little bite at a time at it. Their faith is not at the place where it can really do it, and it'll take a longer time to bring it to pass. Where a person whose faith is stronger can make and push that thing and make that thing work. Our levels of faith determine a lot of things about what goes on around us. That sometimes people get into position, like I said, their faith level is not big enough to push whatever it is that they're against with healing. They can't push it. It's too great. That's why you don't want to ever be content where you're at. You always want to develop and go to a greater level. Why? So you can attain more. The devil's ugly. If he gets an opportunity to come to you and go after you, I'm just sorry, he's going to do that. And we're dealing with these things because there is a mindset. People get mindsets on things. And understand, you're not going to go beyond your mindset. How you believe about things. I can't go beyond how... Look, understand, where I'm believing at or where I'm believing at is a way that I'm thinking. If my thinking has any error in it, then, and I'm going to stick with that, then that's where I'm at. There's going to be, that's as far as I can go. You know, is when Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans, the 12th chapter, and he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, there has to be a transformation. That word there, transformation, is the same word that we get the word metamorphosis from. The Greek word is where we get metamorphosis. There is a change. There has to be a change. This change is not a natural change. He's talking about a mindset that is gotten from God's word. In other words, we're dealing with God's power. This is something not natural. This isn't man's information or man's ideas. This is believing or thinking in line with God's word will make a transformation in your thinking. And that's what you'll need, is a transformation. See, he said, what? You're not supposed to think like the world. It is very interesting because many times I find that people have taken God's truths and set it to the world thinking and are using it in line with the world's thinking. And people are saying, I'm believing the word. They're not. They're really in line with how the world thinks about it. They're really in line. And we need to know, this transformation he's talking about is not something that takes place in your brain. It's something that takes place in your heart. The Bible does not just, the Bible talks about, and uses the New Testament, talks about the mind of the Spirit. The mind of your inner man. Your inner man can take this transformation on. It can affect your brain or how you think about things, but that must first take place in the inner man. Inside the inner man. That's where it takes place. That's where the power of God. Mike was talking this morning about a person saying something, believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. That's faith. Faith is not just a confession. Faith is believing something in your spirit, not in your head, in your spirit, and then confessing what is in your spirit. That's what brings things to pass. That's what makes things happen. So if in my spirit I have fed myself wrong thinking and I've let wrong thinking get in, my speaking will only bring to pass whatever it is my spirit can do. Good or bad. Good or bad. Not just good things, but you could bring bad things if you're saying the wrong thing. It's like Mike talked about the lady. It says, oh man, don't say that. What, you know? I do. I think we ought to bring back the confession, please. It'd save a lot of Christians' lives. A lot of Christians are on the road to destruction. They need somebody to stop them and saying, hey, you're getting a fine for talking so dumb. Because you're killing yourself. you don't want to do that. There needs to be a transformation that takes place. You know, and I want to use an example because God began to speak to me, and I talked about this before in teaching. You know, and God started dealing with me in the areas concerning finances. God started talking to me about them. And it was in some of the things, and this is one of the things that I, you know, read here that Randall Greer said. God spoke to me about those things and began to deal with me, because when Randall said a couple of things, man, inside of me, it just triggered some things. And I got over looking on the inside of myself, not on the outside. And I found that I was very discontent financially with what was going on. I was very discontent. Now, I knew how to do this. I knew how to, when I needed something, I knew how to believe God and get it. But you know what? I wasn't satisfied with that. And in essence, this is where I was at. I was at where the person I was just talking about healing met. You have a problem, you need money, and you can get it. But you know what? My inner man wasn't happy with that. My inner man wasn't happy with that. There was a discontent in me about that. Because I just knew inside of me, somewhere I'm lacking, somewhere I'm missing, that there's more to this than where I'm at. Now, I didn't relate it to healing. I got it, understood it afterwards. Really, I was in a place where Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord told him about it, he was having problems financially. And the Lord said, told him, you don't use faith when finances. Well, I was using some faith. I was using more than he was because I was taught by him. I was using more faith, but I was really in the same boat he was. The Lord told him, you know how to use your faith to stay well and walk in health and all that kind of stuff. But he said, you've never used your faith over in the area of finances. And I started to see this. After the Lord started to deal with me, I started to realize that I was not using my faith like I had done it with over in the areas of healing. I hadn't used it in the same manner. So this went over, this is about a 2-year period. And so I set myself in the areas. But one of the things I was in, I got myself and really listened to error. Now, number one, I believe in giving. That's part of what you're going to have to do. That's part of what is receiving things from God is in the areas of giving. We need to understand that's just the way the thing works. That's part of it. But the church has made error in its teaching on the areas of finances because it puts that first all the time. And that is not first. You will hardly ever go to a meeting and they're going to take an offering. They get up and they emphasize the giving and they don't realize they're putting the horse before the cart with the people. Now, it is very beneficial to the guy taking the offering. It's very beneficial to them. And this is what the Lord talked to me about. God's not happy about this thing. It's very beneficial to them, but it's not beneficial to the people. Because the horse doesn't go before the cart. Now, we've used it, and I use it. Hey, I believe in giving, and I've talked about giving, and you need to. But if I would take from Luke 6:38, familiar scripture, give it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your bosom. A lot of translations say put in your lap. That make more sense to us. Put in your lap. He said, for with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. And so what they do is they make the emphasis to people, which is nothing wrong with telling people to give because that is a part. But it is not the whole thing. In fact, if you just follow that, you may have a lot of problems in an area. And I want to get this across to you because this is the Holy Ghost dealing with me about this. Is because the Spirit of the Lord told me that people have been limited just like I was limited. Because you hear that so much and you hear things said and we need to be very careful. We can hear things that are true that are said to us. But those things that are true, if they are out of proportion to where they actually stand, they can get us into a way of thinking that actually hurts us. And see, when the Lord spoke to me, and this is why ministers stand up and they'll use that scripture and say, you know what? You need to give more money. Now, if you read that scripture in its context and read down through it goes down through where Jesus talks and says about what the mouth says and what the heart believes and the mouth says, that's the fruit you produce. He went on down there to say that. So he was talking about the areas of faith. And then that's when Jesus went on there to talk about, he said, if a person hears my word and does them, he's like the guy that builds his house on a rock. So see, just hearing the word and saying the word, you got to do it too. See, but we took one part and people took one part and it became very easy. And in fact, the Lord spoke to this. He said, some ministers, they don't want to change what they do with that because it makes some money to stand there and tell you that you need to give. They don't tell you the whole thing. It's beneficial to them, but it may not be beneficial to you. And I want you to understand this because when God began to deal with me about the areas of finances and I had this dissatisfaction, I started talking to the Lord about it and I was saying there's certain things Randy was saying. The Lord spoke this to me and he said, you're not receiving on the level that you give. Well, now that's totally different what those ministers say. You see, you need to understand this. This is why I always love Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, never let a minister prophesy money out of your pocket. God said. It's always interesting because you can't never say God said to them and get money out of their pocket. I want you to get this. Why? Because my problem was not that I needed to give more. God said, you're not getting back at the rate that you give. In other words, I wasn't receiving at the level that I was giving. Now, I really like to give, and I do. I really enjoy giving. But the Lord told me, in fact, he wasn't mad at me, but I could tell he was disappointed that I was not receiving at the level that I was giving. That disappointed him. And he showed me how the emphasis that was spoken concerning the giving side has been amplified way out of proportion. And it's blown way out of proportion. Now look, it's not wrong to use it because you're going to find, you better understand it. It is part of it, but it's not all of it. I would guarantee you this. If I was in a meeting and I would ask, you know, who's run the meeting? I need more finances. I'll guarantee you what 99.9% of them will tell me I need to do. You need to give more. That's what they said. And you know what? They'd have kept me in the same place I was. I could not go higher because of the direction I was going. I couldn't go higher. Now, I want to talk to you this about this. And I know this thing works. Because when God dealt with me on it, then I began to talk to Wanda about it and that stuff. And we decided to make ourselves some goals concerning receiving. And I talked to you guys about what God told me to do. You know, and I just want you to know this, that in the past year, Wanda and I's the financial things have changed 200%. Just in a year's time. It was because of getting on the right course. It wasn't getting over believing the right thing. I started over going into the areas and examining about receiving. See, I had goals for giving, and that's the amplification that we've gotten mostly on the goals for giving. Now, that's good. It's a fine thing, but it's not everything. And I found out my goals for giving were much higher than my goals for receiving. See, you know what? I never quite understood this, and it's always been in me, and I've been stupid for not ever questioning it. Because the way most of these ministers talk, if you want to believe God for $1 million, you're probably going to have to give away a $500,000 to get it. A lot of that stuff's wrong. They impressed it upon us that, you know, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to, if you want something large, you're going to have probably almost have to give that away to get it. Well, if I have to give that away to get it, I ain't going to go after it. You see, you get believing wrong. You get the amplification. Now look, I am not minimizing on the areas to give. I am not changing on my goals to give. But I definitely changed my goals on receiving, and it didn't take 20 years to fix this thing. What it took was to finally get in faith. And finally, I set goals. God showed me to set goals to receive. See, I was like I said, I was like the person with healing. You get sick, then you go to the doctor. My faith wasn't bringing money in ahead of time on a lot of things. It was bringing it in when I needed it. Bringing in when I wanted it. My faith. I had no goals. I had nothing set. So really, of what we find out with Jesus, all things are possible. Jesus said to him that believeth, well, I had a believeth problem. That's where I was at. Because when it came to receiving, I had a problem. And this is one thing is I want you to get across to you, and God wants you to get this across to your mind. You need to hear from the Holy Ghost about your situation. Men sometimes do and say what they do what pleases them. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I think some ministers out here, they just got caught in the trap of this thing. You know, they've got this, I don't think they have an intent, but they just think that's the way you ought to do it. I do. I don't think they're trying to cheat people. I think they just think that's the way you do it. You know, it's like I've used this before where a minister said this as a minister's meeting, and the speaker got up and made the statement. He said, you pastors out there, He said, a lot of your people, he said, you're dealing with people today and sickness problems. You just tell them they need faith. He said, faith ain't their problem. It's their dirty lives. You see, but I've watched this over the years. Well, you just need to have more faith. Well, now, as I pastored over the years, I found out that people have different reasons why things work or don't work for them. There's different reasons. I found that out. I found out there's different reasons. People are different levels of faith. I always thought about, I remember years ago, and Kenneth Hagin talked about a man who was, God had been dealing with him on the areas of tithing. Now, this doesn't mean everybody's going to tithe, going to get sick, but God had been dealing with this man a long time. He, during the days of depression, this guy's making good money, and he ain't really sharing it with God. God's blessed his life, but he's not doing anything with it. So began to deal with him about the tithe. God started to speak with him about it. And he went for years and just paid no attention to it and didn't. And he ended up sick, and he couldn't work anymore or anything like that. Well, started going. Well, Kenneth Hagin went to a meeting. He came up and he wanted prayed for. He had had ulcers so bad he couldn't eat solid food anymore. He could only eat like baby food, and many times he had a hard time holding that down. And anyhow, the word of knowledge went into effect, and then Kenneth Hagin had a vision. But what it was is Kenneth Hagin told him. He said, spoke to the man. He said to him, he said, and asked him a question. He says, God's been dealing with you about giving, about tithing to the church, and you won't do it. And he said, your conscience has been bothering you about it. He said, you have trouble sleeping at night because you know what God's doing, and you won't do it. He said, is that true? And the man said, are you a fortune teller or what? He said, isn't it interesting? You go to a church, you become a fortune teller. He said, gifts of the Spirit. He said, no, I ain't a fortune teller. He said, God just revealed that to me. And he said, well, you're exactly right. And he said, he said, I want you to understand, you're not going to get healed till you get in obedience to God, to what he's telling you to do. That doesn't mean God's running around and everybody at six because they're money. See, you get over it. Things happen. People get over it. This happens. Well, then it must be this because this guy had this. Everybody's different, but he was dealing with that. He was dealing with the areas concerning money, opened the door to the devil to make him sick over in this area. Well, now somebody would probably come along and say, you know what your problem is, buddy? You just need more faith. I bet he had been told that 100 times. I bet he'd been told that time and time. And that wasn't what his problem was. See, this is why you need to learn to know where your faith's at. What God did with me was brought me over to the area to show me where my faith was concerning the financial area, where my faith was at. You know, it's like Mike said, you know, they're over there, they're going to make a step. So what do? They set themselves a goal to receive. They set a goal to receive. Well, did they hit their goal? Yes. Why did they hit their goal? It's because of their receiving. It wasn't just because of giving. If they hadn't set a goal to receive, they could have gave as much as they wanted and nothing would have happened. Nothing would have taken place. This idea, give and it'll be given unto you. Is Jesus Christ talking to people? If you look down there, it's no one fixed anything that just because you gave something, you're going to give something, you're going to get back. And you need to understand that the level you can get back is going to be based on the level of your faith. See, when the Lord started me off, they started off and he said this thing of $5,000. Well, we believe God for $5,000, and $5,000 come in. So the Lord told me to double it every time it come in. So I doubled it, believed God $10,000, and we got $15,000. Now, that didn't make me mad. $15,000 shows up. So see, God, well, we went on from there, and God really got crazy on the next one. But when I started setting myself goals on receiving, I never thought that. Nobody ever told me to do that. When I look back at things that Kenneth Hagin taught, God showed him. We need to understand this. Many times we were taught things in faith. Kenneth Hagin taught us in faith on really on a babyhood level of how you start, how God started him out. You need to know how to start there. And he taught him how to believe God over time. But because of the amplification of people always saying you have to give to get. You have to give. And that became the big thing. That became the big one. Really, because of that, there was a lot that gets closed off to our hearing. There's a lot of things that we need to hear that get closed off to our hearing. You know, it's from the standpoint, I mean, if we look at the areas of just in healing, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and told them that many were weak and sick and died prematurely. They weren't walking in love with each other. So it wasn't a faith problem there. What was the problem was a love problem. They ain't walking in love. So see, you can't just throw a fix on here. There's a road that we need to walk on. Sure, there is the place of giving. I'm going to tell you this. One of the things you're going to find out about in the areas of giving and receiving is this. When you come to a place of faith, when you arrive at that place of faith, you're going to, it's going to lead you to the place. You can't rise at a place of faith and have no doing. You can't rise there. Your faith ain't going to be happy about it at all. See, many people are trying to arise to the place to be able to give more, but their faith hasn't risen to the level for them to be able to take a hold of that. See, my faith had to rise. I mean, on Thursday, the Lord told me what my next step was about believing, and my flesh got a little shaky. It was a big number. But I want you, the Lord has spoken to me two times in the last numbers of months and said this to me, and He said it on Thursday. He spoke to me, and He said this. You need to be able to believe for millions. See, I want you to understand this. There's not a person in this place that God doesn't want them to reach that level. I want you to understand, there have been things taught, there's areas that hindered in the past, and I never did care for the teaching on it, but they would teach, if you went over to Romans 12 and you read down through, then it talks about gifts differing, and it goes into this thing, and one of the things it talks about, you know, if you have, you know, the gift, it says, you know, a person's gifted to prophecy, well then prophesy according, and if a person, you know, it talks about giving and giving. And I remember them teaching, well, some people are just going to be more in the areas of giving because God's going to use them more in the areas of money. But I could never get this scripture out of my head. Then how could all things be possible to him that believeth if certain people are limited? Now, they talk about having a gift of mercy. I've heard ministers talk about it. I've heard people teach on the subject. Some people just have the mercy gift. And I used to think, the Bible tells us we're all supposed to be merciful. And it tells us that if you don't show mercy, you ain't getting none. Well, hold it. God gave some people the ability to have mercy, and the rest of us are just fighting over this thing, trying to get by? But see, we bought teaching that was wrong. What it was trying to amplify and show us is not what was taught. Men turned it into their own teaching and limited people's believing. They limited people in the areas of finance of how far you can go. You know what? Maybe God won't ask you to believe for a million, but what's the matter with developing your faith to do it? Wouldn't it be nice? If you don't want it for yourself, believe it for somebody else. But you understand, I want you to get this. I'm not telling you have to go out today and believe God for a million. But the whole thing of it is, I don't want to, you know, after I've gone through this last couple of years, I don't want to go through this place here. I don't want to go through where I'm going to limit God, where I'm going to let people teach and say things because of what they're doing, limiting me from accomplishing God's will of what He wants. So walking on the highest level that I can walk on. I want to walk in that place. And I realized, you know, I was a hindrance. I was hindering God the way I was believing about finances. I was hindering. I wasn't intentional. It wasn't intentional disobedience or anything. It's the way I was believing. Was hindering what He wanted to do for me. Because here's one thing. I have a desire, a strong desire to give. Well, if I get the money, I can fulfill the desire. And that's where I was limited in fulfilling the desire of my own heart in this area of giving. And God wanted to take me to the place where I can fulfill it. Hallelujah. God's good. And if there's anything I don't want to do, I don't want to hinder somebody else from being blessed. That doesn't mean we're going to, you know, take an offering and talk about giving. We should. But the whole thing is to amplify the things. We want you to be in faith when you give. Now understand, when we talk about faith, we're talking about believing something. Let me just share a scripture with you. The Lord told me to share this from 2 Corinthians 9. The Apostle Paul was talking about giving, you know, and they were taking an offering that was going to go down to Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was in a famine and the Christians down there needed help and they were taking an offering to help out their brothers. And I want you to see what he said here. And you need to, this will help you in understanding what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about here. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6 says this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And who sows bountiful will reap bountifully. Now, see, as people say, well, then I'm going to give a big offering. But we need to read it in its context about what it says to do, because Paul's going to tell people how this thing works. Why? Because you could throw your money out there and you ain't getting nothing back. He said, now listen to this. Listen to me, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his own, in his heart. See, this is about something from the heart, not just cash flowing out there. You see this? Look, it's what you purpose and what you can believe for, not what Ed believes for. Not what some other ministers believe in for. It's what you. Your giving is based upon your faith. Faith of the heart. And you see, he says, what this? And then he says, not grudgingly of nor necessity. In other words, nobody should tell you, you have to do this or do this. This is about your heart. God wants you in faith concerning your own heart where you're at. Some people have a greater faith in areas than other people do concerning these things. But there's one thing about it. You will never grow in faith if you don't walk in the faith you got. And so the thing of it is, God wants you rewarded. It's just like with these people. He wanted them rewarded. Look at verse 8. This is what he says. He said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Ed wasn't qualifying for that before. You know, because I didn't have sufficiency in all things. I'd wait till empty and then ask for sufficiency. I really wasn't walking in what Paul's talking about here. He said, God is able to make all grace abound in you. He didn't say God would. He said, God's able. Able what? According to your faith. According to the level of your faith. According to what's in your heart, God can bring back to you. That's what he was telling them. According to what God can do. And see, this is why I look at the fact I was limiting really what God wanted to do through me. And the thing that really grabbed me was that I didn't know what the truth was, but I let some other stuff enter in. I let other thinking enter in, and it tainted my mindset. Now, some people have to fight things. Like, you know, I was born and raised, we had a mindset, you know, that the church that we went to, that everybody was supposed to be poor, and if you were rich, you were probably going to hell immediately. You know, you weren't allowed to have money. But if you drove a nice car and you had a real nice car, you ought to go to another church. They weren't too tickled about that nice car sitting out in the lot. You ought to have one that's either black or a dark color or something like that. You ought to have something out there and not so fancy. Oh, don't have a fancy one, you know. My words, if you got too much chrome on it, you know, you ought to have some hubcaps that at least are painted partly. You know, they didn't believe in you had to paint them black. But, you know, if they were too nice... You got one and had a spinner on it, you know. Everything else, well, forget it. God would never forgive you for that one. You were definitely lost for eternity. Just kidding. But see, people get over in those areas of thinking. But I want you to get a hold of the fact what Mike shared with this morning really is in a direction that God's going. It's about believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. The number one thing that you and I need to do, if we don't change, we need to go back over to things, is getting our believing and our saying right first. That's number. The giving part, yes, we have the giving part. But I'm going to tell you what, it is the believing part, the believing in your heart what the Word of God says, and then beginning to talk those things. It's like Mike was talking about the woman who was saying things. Number one, she keeps saying that kind of stuff, it gets into your heart. You keep saying those kinds of things. You keep talking the defeated. You keep talking about the problems. And see, this is one of the things. God is trying to move us over because what is going on in the world? Christians, we can't keep listening. They can't. That can't be the major voice of stuff we're listening to the stuff that's happening in the world. We got to begin to put our voice to things. You know, you guys have heard me say this many times. You got to be your own best cheerleader. You got to be the loudest voice in your life. Because, man, there's a lot of voices out here in competition, aren't there? There's a lot out here today that voices I'll tell you, they're looking for your well-being, and they're not. And I'm not talking just Christian or, you know, just out here. There's a lot that's voices that are saying on all sides and all things. People are looking out for themselves. You have to know is, number one, you want to fulfill the will of God. You want to find the plan of God. I'll probably go on and teach the principles that Brother Hagin talked about the Lord gave him as those things, because God wants you to be blessed. See, in this hour, I think if Christians wait too long, they won't step into a higher level. I think things will get so complicated. People will get frustrated. Things will happen. This is something we need to push into. It's sitting down, examine, where's my believing at? Where am I at? Do I have goals set to arise to another? Do I really have any goals? Have I really had plans? Well, it's sitting down and saying, man, I want to go to a higher level of believing. I want to be able to receive more. The whole point of it is the believing. The believing and the confession is about receiving it. See, you can give all the money you have, but what's going to bring it into it is what you've been believing and saying. That's what's going to bring it to you. See, you put the money in, that's good. But God wants to be able to bless you. He wants your confession. He wants you to see. People, you get people today and people will talk about how bad things look out here and how, you know, the outlook on the economy and all this kind of stuff and the outlook and things going on out here. And if you don't watch out, you end up getting into fear. Now, I went and talked to an investment guy, you know, who he sat down and talked about. And he talked to me some certain things about investment and certain things to do. He said that are good to do. His dad was a preacher and stuff, and he's, you know, he understands. I was talking to him because I could talk about my faith and how what I am given and stuff like that. Because you get over some of these counselors, you know, given, you don't give nothing away. You just keep everything you got and you hang on to it because you're going to need it. So when you retire, you can retire at, you know, 55 and you never have to work again and do nothing in your life but take advantage of everybody else. And become a drag on society. But, you know, but we were talking about these things, and he talked about certain things in investment. He said, now understand, he said, you know, we're here in this world and we're making money and things. And he said, he talked about over the years. I mean, this guy here, people personally, he handles people's investments. I mean, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people here in the United States and people in Europe, they trust him. And, you know, he talks about investment over in areas where you're in stock market or whatever it is. And he said, even if the stock market goes down, he said, you can be invested, he said, in things. And he said, there's things that they might have some up and downs, but you're going to make money. He said, I proved it over the years. And the stock market dropped. He said, my people don't get poor. Well, I'm going to tell you what, most Christians do. Most Christians are invested into things. When the stock market drops out, it kills them, man. They get wiped out on stuff. And he said to me, he said, if the stock market wiped out, and he said, the American government goes, he said, forget it, your money ain't going to be any good anyhow. It don't matter. And your gold and silver, they'll kill you for it anyway. So it's just, Jesus is coming, folks. But see, the whole thing of it is, he talked to me and really talked with sense from this standpoint. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. And I really appreciate that. He talked, the fact of it is like, you know, hey, we do the best we can from our standpoint. We make decisions best we understand God does. But we walk in faith with God. We walk in faith with God. Right now, one of the biggest emphasis all the time on television, if you watch TV or you look online, it's all this stuff about retirement. Do you have enough money? Do you have enough this? Do you have enough? I'm going to tell you what. There's not enough money for these sinners to retire. There never will be. You gave them all $1 billion and the devil will do something to it. And Christians need to go, because what happens? People, we're not supposed to save or invest or to do things because we're afraid. That's not the basis of what we do. See, that's a taint. That's something that taints our faith. It will taint your faith. We don't want to ever make decisions because of the fears of what's happening or what's going on. We don't want to do those things. You know, God can help you get out of your dumb mistakes, but I'm going to tell you this. If you get in the areas of fear and stuff starts running in you, He can have a very hard time trying to help you. There's certain places, you may make some dumb mistake, but there's places you don't want to go. You don't want to live in the land of fear. You don't want to go there. That's why you maybe be cautious about how you listen to what's going on or what's happening, because it can drive fear in people. It can make people afraid. If you're not in a place of faith, you need to be in a place of faith to listen to some things. There's years ago that if I would listen to some of the things that are said today, it would have really whacked me. But today, I am founded in some things, and I, no matter what they say, I have steadfast belief in certain things. So I can look without fear. But that doesn't mean I just go and entertain that. you understand what I mean? But my intent is today, and really is God's intent, is God wants to bless you. And He wants to bless you more than you have believed. There's some of you today, there's some of you sitting right here, you've given more than you received. Now, there are things about principles. As we go on in teaching this subject, I want you to understand this. There are, because, you know, there's an area called faithfulness. Somebody's not faithful with a little, they're never going to be a ruler over much. God is never going to, I don't care if they say, I know how to believe for a million, we'll try to get God to give it to you. See, there's faithfulness. There's one thing that God dealt with me on the fact of my Wanda and I's faithfulness over the years in our giving. How faithful we were. We maintained a faithfulness in our giving. We set ourselves a course on faithfulness. This is one of the things we know. We proved ourselves that we can be rulers over much. Some people have never proved themselves of being a ruler over much. They have never been faithful with God. They've never been faithful. And we need to understand that. Those are things that we prove out. Jesus said, you know, if a guy doesn't, who's going to give you your own if you ain't faithful with somebody else's? That's stated in there. See, there's one thing about being faithful on your job where you work, being faithful to do your work and do your job. That plays big with God. I've known people come along and said, you know, we need a raise. I need a raise. I say, no, you don't. You need to start working is what you need to do. You don't need to start getting faithful. But I want you to learn to do this stuff. Begin to look. Have you limited? Let me just say these things in closing. Have you limited yourself maybe where you work, say on a raise, because you say, well, they won't give us no raises. Have you? Have you limited yourself there? I have personally seen this happen. Places that wouldn't give somebody a raise, and there was a guy confessing that he was going to get a raise and he got one. And the rest of them didn't. And they were mad. And the people were mad. Some of them were Christians. But they had been always saying they couldn't get one, and they didn't. They got what they said. Now, I want you to start to do it. Understand this. You start to set your voice in a direction. You start to. You know, it's just like with, Richard Spangler talked about the years, you know, Brother Richard, he had worked for Bethlehem Steel here in Lebanon. And I mean, they didn't have business was going down and all that kind of stuff. And Richard, who was up in management, up in higher management at the plant down here, Richard got, and Richard had some boldness because he talked to some of the other ones about it. He said, believe in God. Money's going to, he started saying about, he started believing for so much business started to come in to them. And within a short period of time, he started believing this. I mean, they were down the place where they were like, man, we're going to have to lay people off. This thing ain't working. And they just got millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of business came in. He began to speak it. See, there's one thing of it is, if you're working for a company, talking against that company is doing nothing but cutting your throat. I mean, why do you want to be there and work? You know, we need if I'm there, I want it to make money. Or does God want me here? Maybe I'm supposed to be someplace else. You want it to work. You want business to prosper. So you have your own business. You want your business. Mike and them, they have that business on the side. But, you know, we want it to work. It's beginning. Don't limit yourself. One of the things is being led by the Spirit. God may lead you to believe certain things, or He may speak to you about it, just like He told me. He told me what I'm supposed to believe a certain amount for. He spoke to me about it. And I'm supposed to believe for. He said, I want you to believe for this. And I thought, man, couldn't we just do it to something a little bit smaller than this? Because in the natural, it sounds, but you know, when I look in my heart, I know in my heart I can go there. I know I can. Now, I just got to get my flesh over and get my mind, my natural mind over and listen and what's in my spirit to do and walk in it. But I want you to start to do this. To reach a higher level of faith is going to have you going to have to believe. Many times, it's just like yourself. It was not hard for me to go to another level. Some use it's going to be very easy to step to the next level. You may have been hindered, or some things maybe I've said here, all of a sudden just went off on you, what I can do. You know, I haven't been doing just what Mike said. what's in my heart to do. And to say, I haven't been really studying when I've been talking. See, lots of times that's where people have been at. They haven't been saying things that they need to be saying concerning their finances. See, I've always spoken the things because from the King James says about men will give into your bosom. And it's interesting because Jesus Christ quoted it from King James that men will give into your bosom to Kenneth E. Hagin. So I can quote Jesus, and this is why I did. I don't care what the Greek said. Brother Hagin says this. If God shows you different than the Greek said, you go with God. He said, it don't matter what they say, the Greek said. Well, I went with God because he said Jesus Christ quoted the King James Version. And the King James, actually, if you take the original Greek, it don't say men. But there's one thing about it. I understand why Jesus said it. It's because of this. In the earth, we get money from what's in the earth. And lots of times, it's about men giving to men. It's about people giving, just like here in the church. We put money in. We put our money into the church for the church to carry out what it does. It's men giving. Many times, God's had me give somebody money or give a ministry money. Men giving to men. That's what it is. And so I would always confess and say, men will give to me. I would always say this, that God could send somebody from another country to come and give me money. He would do that. I believe he would. I believe God would send somebody from another country just to come and give me money. See, we don't want to limit ourselves, and we limit ourselves in the way that we think and things have entered in. God wants our receiving level to go up, and it will go up if our faith level goes. Not just your giving, your faith level. Get your faith level up. Get your confession up of a higher level. Get yourself up a thing. Your flesh, I'm just going to tell you, your flesh at times will want to be afraid to say certain things. It'll want to not do it. I'm going to tell you, look in the inside of your heart. Man, I know this. My heart's been wanting to say things I ain't said. But my heart's been wanting to say them. And see, we can let what's on the outside sometimes close off what's on the inside of us that really wants to be expressed from our heart. And that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to rise to this place of belief, hallelujah, where you walk strongly in what God has said, in what God's Word says, in believing what the Word of God says. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.